Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather on this Christmas Eve, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and our minds about the truth of the gospel and what it means for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A very merry Christmas Eve to you all. Many of you know I have four daughters. And the anticipation has mounted. They are all excited to receive the one gift that they had written to Santa about, that they had told the elf on the shelf about, and that we heard about every hour of every day since Thanksgiving. What's the best present you ever received at Christmas? What was it? Anyone give birth to someone on Christmas Day? Anyone receive a car on Christmas Day? Surprise? Anyone get engaged on Christmas Day? Yeah? I mean, think about it. What's the best gift? Maybe when you were a child, it was a bike. Or a doll or a dress. I'll never forget when our oldest daughter, Keating, was 4 years old. She literally burst into tears of joy when she got a baby doll that her grandmother got her. Literally tears of joy. You see, there's nothing like a gift that meets a real need and fulfills the desire of the heart, right? And there's nothing like receiving that one and only gift. Well, of course, this Christmas, we're celebrating God's gift of Jesus. But the question is, how is Jesus a real gift? How does Jesus meet a need and fulfill the desires of our heart? Because if he doesn't, then Christmas is just kind of Christmas, and it's not like receiving that great gift. If you open your bulletin, we'll take a look at our scriptures today, or tonight. They teach us the context and purpose of God's great gift. Turn to Isaiah first. He sets the tone when he says this in verse 1. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Later on in verse 2, those walking in darkness will see a great light. In other words, the context for God's great gift is this. People, the human race, are in distress and in darkness. What does that mean? You see, the Bible makes the case that humanity in general, and each of us in particular, have decided it's better to do life as God rather than with God. We'd rather play God, make decisions, stay in control, choose our own morality, act the way we want to act, rather than submitting to God. And so because of that, God left, Genesis 3. He said, if you want to play God, I'll let you play God. And he's not here, is he? Some of you have been calling out to him, and there's been a wall between you and him your entire life. And the Bible's saying that's because we decided we want to do things our way. It's called sin. It's not just the things we do. It's a disease that we have that separates us and God. Now, this produces distress. Anyone have any distressing relationships right now? Because you're being self-centered or somebody else is being self-centered and won't give in? It produces darkness. Anyone have any questions about the problem of evil or suffering or why things are happening to you? Is there darkness and cloudy thinking in your mind? It produces fear, a lack of hope, a lack of peace. The final result of our rebellion, the Bible is clear, is death. As Isaiah says, look at there, verse 2, we live in the shadow of death here, but then, of course, because of our rebellion, when we die, finally, God finally lets us go forever. He says, if you want to live as your own God, I'll let you go forever without any hope of ever returning. That which we think our hearts will feast on in this world, actually in the end only lead to death. So the context of the gift is our need and our sin and our gloom and our brokenness and our darkness. Well, into this gloom, Isaiah hints a gift is coming. And John, turn over to the gospel reading, tells us about the gift. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, God was decided to leave His glory from heaven and come and enter our gloom and darkness as a man. Look at verse 9, it says in the book of John. He came to give light to every man, to open our eyes to the reality of God and life, to allow us to see ourselves and others in life as it really is. And in seeing clearly through the gloom and the darkness, it was Jesus' hope that we'd receive something more. Look at verse 12. To all who received Him, to all who believed on His name, He gave the right to become children of God, to be restored into God's family. And this is the heart's desire part of the gift. For those of you who grew up in broken families, Christmas is a difficult time. For us pastors, Christmas actually is one of the most hardest times of our job because so many people do have challenges in their families. Our heart's desire, and we were made to be in God's family, where relationships were perfect, where everyone loved and served each other. Moms and dads were perfect. Kids were perfect. You see, to have the love and security and peace of being God's perfect family was what we were made for. And so Jesus came. And He said, do you want to be in God's family? Because that wall that's between you and God, I can take away. How did He do it? What did Jesus do when He arrived? God's great gift. Now finally look at our Titus passage. Our New Testament text tells us, look at verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. The operative word is Savior. He rescued us. God, fully man, lived the perfect life, and never deserved to die. But He willingly said, God, punish me for their sins so they don't have to be punished. I'll stand before you, give it to me straight. And He died on the cross. God poured out on Jesus the consequences of our sin. So when we received Christ as God's gift, look at verse 5 of Titus. It tells us we are washed. We're made clean. We're renewed. Our eyes are opened. We're acceptable to God. Verse 7, look at what it says. It tells us how Jesus does this by sending His Holy Spirit to renew and live in those who receive Him. So in receiving God's great gift of Jesus, not only our eyes are opened to the reality of who God is and who we are, but He washes us and makes us clean. Sons and daughters, with a new perspective in life. This is the gift God offers us at Christmas. Now, 20 years ago, literally this month, I had just moved to Baltimore, Maryland. I was playing basketball in a gym. I had no friends. I didn't know many people. And I struck up a conversation with a guy who had just moved to Baltimore, Maryland. He went to Purdue, I went to Northwestern, Big Ten, playing basketball, and we kind of hit it off. I gave him my number, thought I'd never hear from him again. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Hi, David, this is Craig. Craig, yeah, we play basketball. Yes, Craig, how are you? He said, hey, listen, there's a hockey game down in Washington, D.C. How'd you like to come? I was hockey positive, not hockey fanatic, but hockey positive. Hockey game's fun. It's happened, they're playing the Bruins. Yeah, I'm Bruins positive. They're my kind of favorite team. Oh, I got plans. Sorry. Can't do it. Let me ask you. Who calls back and asks someone again when you don't even know them, right? The guy called me back like 3 hours and said, are you sure you don't want to go to that game? Well, actually, the truth of the matter was, my plans had canceled. And I was free. And I said, you know what? Actually, I am now free. I'll go with him. He said, great, meet me downtown, we'll drive down together at 6:30 to 7:30 game. Pouring rain, December night. Drive down to Baltimore,
driving around the block. Remember the old FDIC, FRC building? Is that what it's called? Or some building. USF&G. That was it. USF&G building. And I'm driving around. And he's 30 minutes late. He told me what kind of car he was in. I was just about to go home. It was 7 o'clock. He had to drive an hour on a Friday night down in D.C. to watch this game. I saw his car. He drives up next to me and says, "Hey, listen. Do you mind driving?" "No, I don't mind driving." He said, "Great, we just parks, gets in the car." "Great, okay," we start talking, we head down. We got lost, it was a off ramp, it's kind of a nightmare. About halfway down, I say to him, I said, "How good are our seats?" He says, "Oh, we don't have tickets." He's like, "Yeah, we're going to have to get tickets when we get down there."
Why am I telling you this story? You see, not only is the gospel in it, but I think it speaks to the experience of so many Americans in their relationship with God. Let me explain. Many people are God positive. They're God positive. God's a good guy. pray for him when I need him, go to church when it's convenient. I'm God positive, but I have a lot more other priorities. It's not that the biggest priority in my life. Some people in America have had a bad experience with church. People are kind of weird, kind of like my friend was those first couple of minutes. You know, he was just weird. He was acting weird. He started making me pay money. Oh, church, they just want your money. It's all about money. You can't trust those guys, right? And they have no idea what God's actually offering. They have no idea what hockey games really like and what it means to be treated like royalty and what it means to receive tickets to the game of life. And so they miss it. They never receive God's great gift. First part of my sermon was kind of boring. I was just rehashing the text, wasn't it? Nobody was jumping out of their seat going, wow, that's the most amazing news, right? I mean, you weren't. C.S. Lewis says this. I'm using it. I spoke it a couple of weeks ago, but so many of you weren't here. I'm going to say it again. If we consider the unblushing promises of reward found in the gospel, it seems like our Lord finds our desires not too weak, not too strong, but too weak. We fool around with sex and ambition while all the while infinite joy is being offered us. We're like those who'd rather make mud pies in a slum rather than take God up on his offer for a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Some of you this Christmas have said, you know what, I remember exactly when I received God's great gift. When he handed me the tickets and my life exploded with a joy and a peace and a purpose. It was like the scales fell away. And you're saying, I've been to that hockey game. I know what it's like to receive the Savior. I was in gloom. Now I see I've been washed and filled with this Holy Spirit and there's nothing else like it. But for some of you tonight here on Christmas Eve, your experience with Jesus is a lot like my hockey experience, except for you decide to get out of the car or not ask for the tickets or not get that far away. And so Christmas is just about Christmas. Some of you are in the parking lot. You've been around church. You've gotten here. But now you just need to run up to God and ask him for free tickets. You finally need to ask him, hey, will you actually forgive me and restore a relationship to me? And would you actually pour out all those things in the Bible that says you'll pour out on people who trust you? I've been coming to church all my life, but I've never actually asked you personally to make Christ real and to pour out your Holy Spirit into my life. Some of you have received the tickets, but you're still standing in the parking lot. You know all the answers. You could preach a better sermon than me, but there's no power. There's no joy. You're not in the game. You don't know the joy. You're not cheering. You're not walking with people when they're lamenting their team's losing or going through a tough time. This Christmas, is it time to get into the game? Have you ever received God's greatest gift? Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas Eve is all about. That's what we talk about. That's what we do when we come to communion. That's why we confess. We don't confess to beat ourselves up and say we're so bad. We confess to say, God, come. I want to receive Christ. Make me new. I want to receive your great gift of forgiveness. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. To him that opens the door, I will come in. This is the invitation. This is the gift God longs to give us at Christmas. I guarantee it will be the best gift, if it's not already, you've ever received. Just as I received those tickets and went into that game, so Christ wants to give you himself, wash you and make you new, pour out his love and grace and say, come be my child forever. What do you say? Is tonight maybe the night where you finally say, I want to receive Christ. I want to become a child of God. I want to be washed. Let us pray. Take a moment, maybe in the sound of your heart in prayer. And if this is something that you want to do, if you've never done it, say, I want to receive God's great gift. I want to receive Christ. Wash me and make me new. Come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and joy. If you've done that before, if you know Christ, if you've received the gift, tell Him how grateful you are and renew your commitment to Him, that you want to be in the game. You want to walk with Him and follow Him. And if you're not ready yet, you might say, God, if you're real, show me you're real and get me into that game. Take a moment in silent prayer before God. Lord, Isaiah reminds us of our need. John tells us you came, and Titus tells us the result of receiving you. God, speak to our hearts and minds as we celebrate Christmas Eve. Thank you for the gospel and your love and your grace that you long to pour out on us. Open our eyes for the rest of our service and the rest of this day, tomorrow and the days to come, that we might receive your amazing grace and walk with you into eternity as your sons and daughters, because we've received Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.